Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, Monday edition, Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. My goodness, we have so much to do. What a weekend in sports. What a weekend in sports betting. The NBA Finals are set. We have a lot to say about the Indiana Pacers advancing, my Knicks losing, what lies ahead for the Knicks, and why I think these NBA Finals are going to be better than you anticipate. We will get into so many reasons this weekend why you gotta love sports. Excellent stuff with the Yankees and the Dodgers. We'll get into Scottie Scheffler. We'll get into a great weekend in baseball. We got a lot of NFL to do. Three interesting stories in the National Football League that frankly really impact sports betting and over-unders and division winners and playoff teams and the Patriots and the Niners, and we'll get into the Lions and the NFC North. We'll sprinkle in some French Open. Greg Peterson's going to join us for a baseball Monday betting preview. And by the way, there were some amazing series this weekend in Major League Baseball. Some great series starting tonight as well. Let's start with what transpired on Saturday as the Indiana Pacers beat my Knicks and the Pacers advanced to the NBA Finals. And first and foremost, let's make sure we give the Indiana Pacers their due, their credit, their flowers. And Pacers win 125-108. This was a four-point game at halftime. And then Indiana was able to distance itself from New York and scamper past the Knicks. And if you had Pacers laying the 4.5, you cash that ticket. Listen, Pacers absolutely earned this. They are well coached. They are deep, talented. They are excellent. You see, Pascal Siakam had 31 points inside game, outside game. He was unstoppable. We loved that deal when they made it with the Toronto Raptors, getting Spicy P. He's been a champion, knows what it takes. And by one vote, he was named, and I get it, rightly so, the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, just ahead of Tyrese Halliburton. And honestly, this was really, if you're a Pacers fan, excellent, excellent stuff. And you have to take a look at Indiana and really just appreciate this run. And I say this as a Knicks fan, but think about the Pacers, right? 50-1 before the season to ultimately win a championship. And you look at the first rounds, and a lot of smart people, myself included, bet on Milwaukee to win in the first round. And if you remember, and you kind of have to jog the mental Rolodex, it feels like a lifetime ago, Giannis and the Bucks were piping hot going in. I had Bucks in 7. I thought it was going to be a highly entertaining, big rivalry. And, you know, you saw the Pacers just wipe the floor with Milwaukee and Halliburton leading the comeback. And then they take on Cleveland. And again, I love this Pacer team, tough and well-coached and deep and talented and, you know, every night a new hero. And then you saw them beat the hell out of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, you know, I took the cheese on being one of the great teams in the NBA and getting to the NBA Finals. They just beat them. They beat them up 1-5. Nobody beat Cleveland and Cleveland except for the Indiana Pacers. And then the Knicks were favored. I mean, it's crazy, but it's true. And I still don't even believe that, you know, Indiana's unequivocally more talented than New York. You know, they obviously came back in historic, unprecedented fashion, down by 14 points, 2:45 to go. And listen, that was the difference, game one, setting the tone and tempo for the rest of this series. But on game six, you kind of saw everything you needed to see. With regards to the Indiana Pacers, there's a snapshot of Rick Carlisle and the great fans and great ownership, and Halliburton was great, Siakam was great. You saw Obi Toppin coming off the bench doing some things. Nebhard was excellent, and Nesmith did a great job. I mean, the whole thing, if you're a Pacer fan, is remarkable. And look, I'll tell you this, as a Knicks fan, I'm upset. I'm disappointed. You know, everyone talks about expectations and going into a season. You know, before the season started here on Make It Rain with Adam Schein, I said that it would be OKC over New York. That was my prediction for the NBA Finals. So after they got Karl Anthony Towns and they got Mikal Bridges, I thought absolutely this team, their upside was to go to the NBA Finals. And if you're a Knicks fan like me, listen, it's bittersweet, and there's perspective, right? You know, they make those trades. They went over 50 games, really good to great season, better than Indiana in the regular season. Indiana had, you know, second most wins in the NBA. Once the calendar flipped to 2025, most wins OKC, second most Indiana. Think about that in terms of irony in the NBA Finals matchup. But the Knicks had the 3 seed and survived Cade Cunningham and a hard-charging, feisty, albeit young, Pistons team. Then you see what transpired for the Knicks against Boston. Forget the Tatum injury. They were up 3-1 before Tatum got hurt. You know, down 20 game one, win. Down 20 game two, win. I mean, just remarkable in terms of their clutch nature. In game six, you know, at Madison Square Garden, that's one of the best wins the Knicks have had in the last 25 years. So that was incredible. But we talked about it, even as I believe the Knicks had a real shot to be playing at least tonight, right? And force a game seven, they were never going to get past game number one. Just was not going to happen. Too devastating, too big a deal, and too unfortunate in every possible way for New York. So it's bittersweet, a lot of positives, step in the right direction. And now you start taking a look at the future for the Knicks. And talk to Ian Begley today on my SiriusXM radio show. There's a lot of great reporters who cover the Knicks. Ian Begley, to me, is the best, the most tapped in. He covers the Knicks for SNY in New York. And first of all, he said, look, you know, nothing is guaranteed in Tom Thibodeau's return. But I believe, he believes it absolutely should happen. And you could get on Tibbs on challenges and, you know, substitution patterns and guys playing too many minutes. I thought that Tom Thibodeau did a hell of a job regular season and postseason. And if you fire him, who are you hiring who takes you to a different level? And look, when you look at the Knicks and their salary, 93% of their cap right now, Brunson, Cat, Bridges, Hart, OG, Mitchell, Robinson. I think they made the two big moves with Bridges and Cad. I think that Bridges was phenomenal in the postseason, and his play during the regular season was choppy. I think that's a fair way to phrase it. I thought Karl Anthony Towns was really good to great. You know, not great on defense, great on offense. And, you know, I think that they can take their game to even another level, more dominant, more consistent level in the regular season. Year two with Thibodeau and Jalen Brunson. Brunson was unequivocal, talking to reporters after game six. Tom Thibodeau, utmost confidence, absolutely confident that they could run it back. And take a look at the odds for next year. You can get this on DraftKings as we speak, to win a championship. And this feels right. And obviously, a potential Giannis Antetokounmpo trade could alter it. But Knicks having the third best odds to win a title next year, that feels like that's fair. I get it. So if I'm the Knicks running it back for the most part and not doing anything big, you know, and I say big, I'm talking about KD or talking about Giannis, I think bringing back the core, you know, those six that I mentioned, Deuce McBride, that makes sense. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo, when you take a look at his next team odds, listen, unless he tells Milwaukee, and he's always been tied to the Knicks, right? He's always had interest in playing at Madison Square Garden, playing for the franchise. Unless he tells the Bucks, you must trade me to the Knicks. I mean, I think the Rockets and I think the Spurs have much more to offer here in terms of a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it feels a bit far-fetched. Ian Begley said, you know, he does not think that Giannis is going to the Knicks. He does not think Kevin Durant is going to the Knicks. Think more along the lines of maybe Al Horford, or Tyus Jones, or Chris Paul. I think for a variety of reasons that would all make sense. And, you know, I think that last year, if you remember at this time, my entire take was I had two guys the Knicks should go after, Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns, and it was check, check. I think for the Knicks, keep Thibodeau. You know, Jalen Brunson loves him. Jalen Brunson's a Knick because of Tom Thibodeau. Let's be crystal clear about that. So that, to me, makes a lot of sense, making sure that you have Jalen Brunson's guy still coaching this basketball team. And listen, I think Thibodeau can take him to the next level. I still have a lot of confidence. You know, obviously, there's a window this year in terms of everyone staying healthy and it was all there. And, you know, Pacers are a great team. I don't think they're a classically great team in any way, shape, or form. So I know everyone wants to always talk about the future and it's New York and, you know, Giannis and Kevin Durant. I actually think staying the course and status quo is a very smart play, and clearly with those odds, Vegas agrees. So I think that'll obviously, you know, ultimately will play out in terms of what the Knicks do and what the offseason entails. Need that first statement, though, from Jim Dolan, the owner, that Tom Thibodeau is going to stay as the head coach. I would never in a million years fire Tom Thibodeau. I would never, ever fire Tom Thibodeau. So now the Knicks have to watch the Pacers and OKC in the NBA Finals. And honestly, I'm amped for this. I can't even begin to tell you how many times, you know, callers through the years have called my radio show on Sirius XM and said, oh, I'm done with LeBron or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or the Lakers or the Celtics. I want new blood. Well, you got it. And it's awesome. And I think both these teams are ridiculously even, ridiculously likable. Thunder are the clear monster favorites in Vegas, minus 700 for the Thunder, plus 500 for the Indiana Pacers. And, you know, I think it's even when I say this matchup or these Nuggets that really hit it home on ebb and flow. And officially, we're going to predict the Thunder winning this in six. I think it's going to be more competitive than people realize. You got SGA versus Haliburton. That's the first time that two all NBA point guards are going to match up since you had Kyrie going up against Steph Curry. That's all sorts of fun. Pacers have the number two offense, OKC the number one defense. Pacers are the best in terms of three-point shooting, and OKC the best in three-point defense. OKC averaging 100.6 possessions per game in the playoffs. Indy 98.4. So that's some great stuff. Now, I think the key for this series ultimately going deep, can Indiana take a game at OKC? I think yes. Not game one on Thursday, because I think OKC will be ready for it and that joint's going to be jumping and OKC is the better team. I would lay the nine with the Thunder, but can they take game two? Can they make this a series? Can it go six? I believe so. I think Thunder are winning a title, as we said, preseason, but I think the Pacers will put up a fight.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now. Get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. You gotta love sports. Sporty sports, 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 sports. So many reasons this weekend in sports and sports betting that made you say, wow, I really do love sports. Especially if you had a ticket for Scottie Scheffler winning the Memorial. And this was par for the course. Scheffler wins his second straight Memorial, third win in his last four outings on tour. Just absolutely incredible. He shot a 2-under par 70 to beat Ben Griffin, who was four strokes off the pace when it was all said and done. He faded on the back nine. The victory follows, of course, the triumph at the PGA Championship in May. And that's Scheffler's third major win. It's just incredible. The victory makes him just the second player to win the Memorial in consecutive years, following Tiger Woods' victories, 99, 2000, 2001. So this is just amazing. This is remarkable. This is sensational. And honestly, if you're a golf fan, if you're a Scheffler fan, if you had a ticket, I don't even know who else you would have bet on in this one. Because Scotty is so locked in and so remarkable. Scotty Scheffler, my goodness, you gotta love sports. That was incredible. How about what transpired with the World Series rematch with the Yankees and the Dodgers? And listen, we talked about how excited we were for this World Series rematch, and you know I'm a Yankee fan, on Friday. And then what transpired over the weekend was wild. First on Friday, right, you have those sights and sounds at Dodger Stadium. You have the games on Apple TV. It's 10:15 on the East Coast, 7 o'clock West Coast. So you got all the beautiful pictures, Dodger Stadium, you know, a California night. And then you see Judge and Ohtani both go yard in the first inning. I mean, that was majestic. Not so much for me as a Yankee fan, as Max Fried had his worst outing of the year, and the Dodgers were able to win as an underdog. So you hit if you had the Dodgers at plus 120. And remember on Friday, I gave that nugget. Last time the Dodgers were an underdog, it was against Max Fried when he was pitching for the Braves, underdog at home, and the Dodgers won that game too. So just still a little nugget for you, which is why we try to find as many facts and stats and quirks for you for your betting pleasure. And then on Saturday, I sit down and, you know, I watch the Dodgers and the Yankees for just an hour before I lock it completely on my Knicks. And thank goodness that was the case. Dodgers 18-2. Will Warren was a kid to batting practice. Max Muncy hit a couple of three-run jacks. I mean, I still think the Dodgers are scoring. That was amazing. And the over cash instantly at 9.5. So the underdog won on Saturday. And the underdog won on Sunday. Frankly, I was anticipating, you know, all the Dodger fans who I'm friends with to bring their brooms to work today, because it was Yamamoto going up against Ryan Yarbrough, and who knew, Yarbrough was able to get it done. I've always liked Yarbrough. Pitched for the Dodgers last year, got his World Series ring from Dave Roberts and the Dodgers before the game, which was great. I always liked him in Tampa. He was always tough on the Yankees. He's crafty. You know, if you look at it, and he was great, you saw that Ohtani didn't get a hit, Teoscar Hernandez didn't get a hit, Freddie didn't get a hit, Will Smith couldn't get jiggy with it. The whole thing was a mess from a Dodger standpoint, sheer genius from a Yankee standpoint. And Yamamoto got chased. Dave Roberts was pissed about that during his interview with Buster Olney during the great ESPN broadcast. And listen, I'll tell you right here, right now, I was pleasantly stunned. You saw the Martian, Jason Dominguez, get the Yankees on the board early. Rice is cooking. Ben Rice hit a bomb early. That was huge. DJ LeMahieu, four hits. You know, obviously a loss weekend, but there's a realistic chance we could end up seeing this matchup again in the World Series. Now, my take hasn't changed. I still think it's Dodgers to win the World Series. And this weekend was proof, even with all the injuries. Dodgers still, you know, the big-time betting favorite for a reason in Vegas and the team that I picked to win it all. And listen, I still think the Tigers are better today than the Yankees. Like, if I'm ranking the American League, it's Tigers-Yankees. Frankly, draw a line after that, and then it's a hodgepodge of squads. But this was a wild weekend. It was improbable. All three dogs won outright on the money line. But it is proof, I think, for both clubs in terms of stressing the positive moving forward big picture. Dodgers didn't have the pitching advantages, still able to win the series. You know, obviously Mookie Betts, you know, he went to the bathroom middle of the night, reportedly, stubbed his toe. This is all relatable content as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's once or two, twice a night. I'm waking up. I got to go to the bathroom. So, you know, at least I'm not fracturing my toe. Otherwise, someone else have to sit in and do Make It Rain with Adam Schein. I mean, I'm thrilled that the Yankees were able to get a dub. And I'm not happy, obviously, by what transpired on Saturday and obviously what happened on Friday as well. How about the Milwaukee Brewers? This actually surprised me. If you're a Brewers fan, you got to love sports. I love the Phillies to win this series. We called the Phillies the second-best team in the National League going into the third month of the season as we flip to June this weekend. And honestly, I'm stunned. I mean, the Brewers have won seven straight, and they swept away the Philadelphia Phillies. And listen, these Brewers, they've got it going on. And the Brewers, Pat Murphy's an excellent manager. I did not believe in them before the season. They have really been excellent this year. They deserve a lot of credit. I still don't think they're going to last. And if you look at their season profile and the betting odds, you know, still minus 270 to miss the playoffs. But hey, they swept the Red Sox. They swept the Phillies. I think the Phillies are great. You know, to do that in Philly, that's kind of a monster deal. You know, maybe I was wrong on Milwaukee. I'm not ready to concede that yet, but I wouldn't frankly touch anything on the board, but that's ridiculously impressive. I'm a fan here of the Milwaukee Brewers. Cal Raleigh, are you kidding me? What a story. He now leads Major League Baseball in homers with 23 on the season. More homers than Schwarber, more homers than Judge, more homers than Otani. You know, the big dumper, that is his real nickname. The catcher for the Seattle Mariners. And how about this? Most homers by a Seattle Mariner. First 58 games of a season. Griffey in 97. Griffey in 94. Griffey in 99. Cal Raleigh in 2025. That tells you all you need to know. 23rd bomb, and he just flat out rakes. He's got such a sweet swing. And look, the American League MVP odds are hilarious. And Aaron Judge is minus 6,000. And I picked Bobby Witt Jr. before the season started. That's a shame because it's really going to derail my hot streak. I had Josh Allen. I had SGA. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm going to lose my mojo on Judge of all people. But look at who number three is. Cal Raleigh. Not going to win. Can he finish third for MVP? Absolutely. Garrett Crochet, if you're a Red Sox fan, you got to love sports. I watched a lot of this game yesterday. He had it going on, struck out a season-high 12 batters, and he just shoved it to the Atlanta Braves. His mound, his game, sheer domination, 12 strikeouts. This was a big series win for the Red Sox, who have been scuffling, especially when you take a look at the landscape of the AL East. You know, getting a series win against the Braves. Obviously, the Braves are not playing terrific ball in any way, shape, or form. But I do think that, you know, the Red Sox, their best ball is still in front of them. And I still think Boston can find a way here to make the playoffs when it's all said and done. Love for the Blue Jays, who swept away the Manfred A's. And I do think that the top four in the... let me rephrase. The Yankees are going to win this division going away. 2 through 4, I think, is very much up for grabs. Orioles are a complete and utter waste of time. And I still think, even with all the drama, the Boston Red Sox have a real shot to make the playoffs when it's all said and done. I told you on Friday my second favorite series outside Yankees-Dodgers, Tigers-Royals. I'm obsessed. And this was a really crisp and clean series. The Tigers win 2 out of 3, so they take the series. And all this team does is win series this season. But look at these scores, right? A two-run game, relatively high scoring, the overhead. Tigers win 7-5. Royals win 1-0. Royals lose 1-0. That's good stuff in terms of good, fun, crisp, clean baseball. I think the Tigers are the best team in the American League. And I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I put them ahead of my Yankees right now. But look at the competition in the AL Central. I still think the Royals will end up finishing in second place. I think they have more upside than the Guardians and the Minnesota Twins. Even losing the series, I thought the Royals pitching ridiculously impressive against Detroit.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or the Circa Million contest for free this season? Winner's Circle Proxy, giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. And get this, you're going to be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live in the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. My guy, Greg Peterson, of course. Host of the Baseball Betting Show and, of course, the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. And Saturday's cashing outs, which was unbelievable, as it always is, this past Saturday. Greg, how are you, my friends?
Adam, I am doing fantastic. I always love being on with you. And it's June. That means that it's prime baseball season.
It really is, and it's interesting. For me and you, it's always baseball season. We always love watching baseball, talking baseball, and it's been a great start to the season. And it's interesting. Normally, you have to really say prime baseball season for when the NBA Finals are over and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals over. There's a bit of a gap. A little bit of a lull. This weekend in baseball was awesome, as we talked about earlier. And I can't wait for the first full week of June. And listen, having Mets-Dodgers as kind of a signature series, that's all sorts of fun. We could talk about history between these teams. We could talk about where they are now. Look, my default is always Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. I do think, starting tonight, and I very much have the Dodgers winning the World Series. Dodgers just spanked my Yankees. I don't love these Mets. I didn't pick them to the playoffs. I'm going to make a case for you. You tell me. I think the Mets are getting the Dodgers at the right time this week. The Mookie injury, they're not going to face Yamamoto. Starting pitching advantages. Maybe the Dodgers will be a little delirious after beating the Yankees 2 out of 3. I'm fascinated to get your take on the series. And if you could see an upset tonight on the money line.
Now, I did take the Dodgers on the run line here in this first game, just because I just don't trust in Paul Blackburn. We will see what he's going to be able to supply moving forward. But I think after this game is when you're going to be able to find some value on the Mets. And I do think that they're playing them at the right time. Because also for the Mets, they got to play a series against Colorado Rockies going into this game as well. And the Rockies are right now making the Washington Generals feel like, yeah, we could beat these guys. So it's been absolutely insane what we've been seeing on that front. So Juan Soto was able to get out of his funk. He's got a pair of home runs over the weekend as well. So I think that that helps out quite a bit. And keep in mind as well, the Dodgers are dealing with a lot of bullpen issues as well, because they've been dealing with Kirby Yates' injury. Michael Kopech has yet to come back this year. And then obviously the residuals of the injuries from the beginning part of the season, Blake Snell and company. So I do think that they are catching them at the right time. And the fact that Yamamoto went fewer than 4 innings and they had to burn up even more of that bullpen on Sunday Night Baseball, now they have to come back for Monday as well. That is a bit of an issue. Again, just can't get there with Paul Blackburn, but I do think that overall this should be a solid series for the Mets.
Yeah, we're on the same page, and I like the Dodgers big picture. I do like the Mets at least to take 2, maybe 3, and you could tell Dave Roberts was pissed at Yamamoto during that interview with Buster Olney for that exact reason that you documented, Greg, so we're on the same page. Padres-Giants interest me greatly. I still like both these teams a lot. You could say maybe they've come back down to earth a little bit. Love Logan Webb tonight to get it done. I think he's a real horse, a real ace. I think he's terrific. What are you looking at tonight with the Giants and the Padres?
Yep, and that's a big reason why I did take the under. Logan Webb just always so good at home. For Logan Webb, throughout his career, 0.4 home runs allowed per 9 innings in San Francisco. That's 5+ years worth of data. He just dominates when he's at home. And for the San Diego Padres, it was a series of strife against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were able to rally on Sunday. They got there for myself. I had them on the money line, so felt good about that, but I mean, they were pushed a little bit in that series, and it just feels like outside of Gavin Sheets and Fernando Tatis Jr., they just don't have as much power this year as I was anticipating. Manny Machado still moving lines, still getting on base, just not giving you the home run power that you're used to, and Xander Bogaerts just has not really been able to live up to his billing with the San Diego Padres as well. And here's why I love the San Francisco Giants. Number one in terms of bullpen ERA in the league. 2.42 bullpen ERA. Nobody else lower than a 2.84, which, by the way, you were talking about the Mets. Mets are that number two team. So that's a big reason why I'd like the Giants here to go out there in a low-scoring game and get the job done.
Reds Brewers interest me. How about the Brew Crew, Greg? I mean, they have been on fire. I've been wrong so far on Milwaukee. Even more specifically, I was wrong on Milwaukee in Philadelphia. I thought Philadelphia would be able to take 2 of those games minimum. It was the exact opposite. Brewers bust out the brooms. Look, they're on fire. Winners of 7 straight. They beat Boston. You know, a couple of walk-offs against the Red Sox. Now, playing the Reds, it's not easy. Since he's got a lot of talent, an excellent manager, it's basically a toss-up tonight. Fascinated to get your take on a game that interests me a lot, the Reds and the Brewers.
Yep, and being someone from the great state of Wisconsin, I know all too well about this Milwaukee Brewers team. It's a team that I grew up with, but I did take the Cincinnati Reds in this one because I am also a believer in momentum is as good as the next day's starting pitcher, and for Aaron Civale, he's made three starts. He has went 12 innings. He's given up four home runs. He's got a 6 ERA. That just has me out on the Brewers tonight because I do think that even if he gives a little bit of a better start, it is a Brewers bullpen that still gives me a little bit of pause. They have not been as solid in that back end as we have seen in past years. And for the Cincinnati Reds, I do feel like the likes of TJ Friedel and company being able to move line, that's going to be big. And with Great American Ballpark, now that we're starting to get into June, I think that the scoring conditions are going to be going up and up. So I take a look at that total of 9. I think that's set a little bit too low because I think that the ball is going to start flying in Cincinnati now that we've reached a month of June. And I do think that Brady Singer, who's been a little bit down this year, is going to round into form. So I like the Reds on this pick-up line, and I do like the over.
Yeah, I'm with you on both. And I do think Singer, you know, expected a little bit more. I do think he'll be able to get it done tonight, though. We're on the same page there. Red Sox, Angels. And look, I give Boston credit, and I watched a ton of that game yesterday, and Crochet was absolutely tremendous, and Story got it done. And Boston, look, it's baby steps, Greg. Baby steps if you're a Red Sox fan or better or like me, had a ticket with Boston ultimately winning the division or making the playoffs. I had both before the season. They're not going to win the division. I still think they can make the playoffs. But they had the Braves at the right time, won that series. The Angels come to town. I think this is a game and a series where Boston should be able here to get it done.
Yep, I agree with you. And I do like Boston here. I did take them on the run line. And I actually like Richard Fitz as well. I do think that he's doing for a little bit of regression on his 270 ERA. He doesn't really get a lot of strikeouts, but he induces a lot of soft contact. And you'll find that with a lot of these Red Sox starters. Obviously, Gary Crochet is going to go out there. He's going to get his strikeouts. But a guy like a Brian Bayo is a sinker ball pitcher. He's able to induce some soft contact. So it's been interesting the way that the Red Sox have been really putting together this pitching staff over this season. And for Tyler Anderson, this guy has been doing for regression for it feels like 5 years. Like, I recognize that with his overall pitching style, he's able to get some double play balls, what have you. But I mean, he's got right around about a 330 ERA and a fielding independent that's 2 points higher. He gives up north of a home run and a half per 9 innings, but seemingly every single home run that he gives up is a solo shot. I have no idea how he does it, but somehow, some way, it just always feels like he weasels his way out of situations. I think there's serious regression coming for him. And for the Angels, I will give them credit. They hit the deep ball, and they've got Mike Trout back. They're actually in the top two in the American League in terms of home runs per game away from home. So I look at that 9.5 total. I like the over, and I do like the Red Sox to win a high-scoring game on the run line.
Last time we had you on and the A's were playing at home in Sacramento, I told you I liked the under, and I vowed that I would never do that again because we disagreed. Well, I'm purposely bringing this up because I kind of like the under with Joe Ryan going up against Severino. So, Greg, I'm going to give you the floor if you want to talk me out of that with the Twins and the A's.
Okay, I will do a good job of trying to talk you out of that because for Luis Severino, 0.87 road ERA, no home runs allowed in north of 31 innings, 6.20 ERA out in Sacramento. It is night and day the way that these pitchers are performing for the A's when they're in Sacramento. And additionally, the A's, 30th out of 30 teams in bullpen ERA, north of a 6 bullpen ERA. Joe Ryan, by the way, north of 1.5 home runs allowed per 9 innings when he's away from home. Now he goes to Sacramento, where I've been hearing that there's been a lot of issues in terms of guys not feeling good about where they're landing on the mound. You've got that thin air out there as well. And the Minnesota Twins, now Byron Buxton back in the fold to be able to supply some power as well. So I took a shot on the A's on the money line. I took them at a plus 140, and I like this 9.5 over.
Listen, I do think A's money line, and they've been scuffling. You know, the Manfred A's go home, quote unquote, to Sacramento. I like that pick a lot. Listen, I knew if I teed up on that, you would slam that out of the park. Related story, I'll still go with the under, and we'll have fun going back and forth on Twitter later. Greg, you're the best, my friend. Always love talking baseball with you, and we'll do it again real soon.
Always appreciate it, Adam. Thank you.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Source is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code RAIN. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match a deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time right now for our news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. And congratulations to the Colorado Rockies. They are officially the worst. Like, this is insane. And we've talked about this, right, where the Colorado Rockies are, in my opinion, the absolute, unequivocally, the worst franchise in the Big Four in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's it. That's simple. But now it's taken on a totally absurd level. And, you know, the Sacramento Kings laugh at the Rockies. The Browns laugh at the Rockies. The Pirates laugh at the Rockies. Anyone else you want to throw at me who's, you know, the Sabres laugh at the Rockies. The Montfort brothers have owned this team since the early 90s. They've never won a division. I don't want to hear about, oh, you can't pitch in Colorado, the thin air. Thin air, my foot. You're 9-50. 9-50! It's the worst start by any team in the history of Major League Baseball. My goodness, Mets busted out the brooms and swept them. And of course, there's so many stats that hit it home. How about this, courtesy of our friends over at CBS Sports. Wins since May 2nd. Rockies, 3 in 28 games played. Scottie Scheffler, 3 in 4 tournaments played. I mean, 9-50. What a disgrace. And all the Montfort brothers do, they pocket the revenue sharing money. They don't have the right GM, the right farm system, the right manager, the right plan, the right players. And I'll always say this. If you remember, you know, the Andres Galarraga teams, you know, the Rockies have a real fan base. It's a great stadium and they have great fans. Denver's a great city and a great baseball city. And this is unacceptable. Different ownership, spend some money. You know, Denver is not a small market by any stretch of the imagination. This is a disgrace. This is offensive. This is awful. And if Rob Manfred was awake, he would intersect and interject and find a way to make this team get sold. What a disgrace for Major League Baseball and professional sports. This is no good when it comes to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Corbin Burnes exited his start yesterday with elbow tightness. Yikes. Not good. And the miles per hour were down on the fastball before he left. And I don't want to exaggerate or be subject to hyperbole, but if Burnes is out for a significant period of time, and I'll take a breath, but if he's out, that's all she wrote for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are already in fourth place. If you look at the National League West standings. I picked them to make the playoffs preseason. It's not going to happen. Dodgers are going to win the NL West, win the National League, and I think they're going to win the World Series. And I think the Padres, who we picked preseason to make the playoffs, will make the playoffs as well. Giants are better than I thought, and we kind of took the cheese on San Francisco. We picked their over before the season started, but they're legit. This is a really good, well-managed, well-put-together baseball team. Ability to go out and make another trade, you know, maybe for an arm. Again, don't want to exaggerate, but if there's something big picture, and it sounds bleak, I'm not going to play doctor, it sounds bad for Corbin Burnes, I do think that at the end of the day, there could be something on the horizon that's ominous news here for Arizona, and that would equal the Diamondbacks being done if Burnes is out for the foreseeable future. Hey, let's give some credit where credit is due. The Blue Jays swept away the Manfred A's. You realize the A's have dropped 17 of their last 18. I mean, that is crazy. I mean, if you had the Jays this weekend, you know, I hope you parlayed it with some other plays or other baseball picks for some juice, but really nice job here by Toronto. And the bats were humming. And look at that. 4 straight days. The Jays not only won, but the overcashed. Excellent stuff from the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's get into some news, notes, nuggets when it comes to the National Football League. And Stephon Diggs reported to OTAs today, which is significant because obviously Mike Vrabel talked to the press about the video and the pictures that were circulating of Stephon Diggs on the boat and perhaps some illegal activity. And you had Scott Zolak, who does the radio broadcast for the Patriots. He was on 98.5, a radio station in Boston, over the weekend, saying he thinks there's a real shot Stephon Diggs could get cut. By the way, the fact that he showed up today is significant because I think that's smart for the Patriots, because if they cut him, they won't pay him, and they'll say that he's not healthy. And Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk wrote a brilliant piece on this over the weekend. I suggest you read it, and Florio is fantastic. They wrote the contract in a purposely vague enough way with the injury that if he can't play, they can get out of the contract. And I don't want to sit here and exaggerate, but take a look at the schedule and the preseason win total. And I thought that, and I still do if he's there, Mike Vrabel will maximize Diggs. Josh McDaniels will maximize Diggs. Drake May will maximize Diggs. I love what New England did in the draft, first three rounds, going with an offensive lineman and a running back and a receiver who's going to help out Drake May. Mike Vrabel's a phenomenal coach. I think if Diggs plays, the over hits. If Diggs doesn't, the under hits. Like, that's where I'm at right now. When you sign Diggs and you expect him to be at his best, 75, 80 plus catches, I don't think that's crazy. And if that's gone, I don't think that New England has the guys to step up. They signed Diggs with the purpose of being that number one wide receiver and making everybody else better. So I would not touch anything on New England right now. I was high on this team. I thought they had a real shot to make the playoffs. I think all takes, all bets on New England are currently on pause, on hold. Until there's clarity on Diggs, I would not touch anything, including week one against the Raiders. I wouldn't touch anything on New England until I get clarity on Stephon Diggs. Lions center Frank Ragnow announces his retirement. Boy, there's a lot going on here with the Lions. That's now the second interior starting offensive lineman from last year who won't be there. And they already lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their defensive coordinator. And you look at the Lions' schedule, and it's tough. And you look at the Vegas preseason win total, and it goes noted that it's 10.5, which in theory, based upon prior years, I mean, they went 15-2 last year, right? So they dropped it by 5 wins. Honestly, I kind of like the under. I think Lions are going to come back down to earth. And I'll take you a step further. And look at that schedule. Packers, Bears, Ravens. I mean, they might lose their first 3 games of the season. Not to mention Cincinnati and Kansas City on the road. Bucks are going to be tough. You know, at Washington, at Philly. I mean, at the Rams. This is a murderer's row. I mean, it's crazy. NFC North odds, honestly, I think the Vikings are going to surprise some people. Everybody's sleeping on Minnesota and who they are and how good they are. And I think the Lions' brain drain hurts. And I think the Bears are going to be much better this year with Tooney and Ben Johnson now coaching up Caleb Williams. And, you know, I don't love the Packers, but they should be able to win 10 this year. I mean, I kind of like the Vikings at plus 400 to win the NFC North. The Niners are trading for Bryce Huff, who had a monster year with the Jets a couple years ago when the team was coached by Robert Saleh, who is now the defensive coordinator once again for the San Francisco 49ers. Huff was a bust in Philadelphia, but reunited with Robert Saleh in San Francisco. I think this is great, and I know the number's high. Look, it's the same as Detroit as an example. I think take the over here and get a little juice, plus 110, for the 49ers for this upcoming season. And how about Carlos Alcaraz beating Ben Shelton to reach the quarterfinals in the French Open? That, to me, was remarkable. I watched a ton of that match. Great theater, great drama. I think Alcaraz is going to win on the men's side, and you can get him right now at minus 110. I needed that to ultimately stick yesterday for that bet to remain in place. Time now for the best bets brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet in Visa. All you got to do, open up a GBank Visa signature card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet. Trigger the $500 trifecta. You get a $200 of cash back rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We're going to go with the under. Take that, Greg Peterson, for the A's and the Twins at plus 102. Mitch and Paulie coming up next. Can't wait for Follow the Money. Thanks to our guy Sean, who's back in the Vegas control room. Thanks to the great Mike Cohen. We'll talk to him manana. Make it rain with Adam Shine.